Welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Steve, and our congregation is pleased to share this message with you today, and we pray it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Blessings as you listen or watch.
You'll have to forgive me. I'm too used to a pulpit. It's just in my nature. I don't have my family here with me tonight, and I don't have any pictures, but I do have fresh off the press prayer cards on the back there. It has my wife on there, Carrie. This summer we'll be married 28 years, and we've been in Haiti together for going on 21 years. Our three children, Micah, he's getting married next Saturday. And then Ethan, he got married last summer, and Katie, she's in her third year at Pensacola Christian College. So we're blessed to have been able to rear our children actually in the same home that I was raised in Haiti. I went to Haiti as a missionary kid at 1 year old, and I grew up speaking Creole and English, and so I always keep my eye open for if I see some Haitians, because that's actually my first language. English is my second. So if in my speaking tonight I break into tongues, just stop me, okay, and say, hey, Brother Dryden, we don't understand Creole, and I'll have to stop and translate for you, and then keep going in English. But it is a pleasure to be here this evening. Flew up this morning and got to spend some time with your pastor this afternoon. Never been to this section of New York, but it's beautiful. I'm glad I didn't come, a few weeks ago when y'all had all that snow. I grew up in Haiti. I mean, the coldest it gets is 72 degrees, okay? So this Haitian boy does not like snow. I remember in college, I met my wife at Pensacola Christian College back in the mid-90s. We both graduated before Pastor was there. But my wife was from Illinois, so she saw snow quite often. One Saturday morning, I got up, and there was snow on the ground. And we were dating, and I called her and woke her up and said, honey, there's snow on the ground. She says, you called me on Saturday morning to tell me there's snow on the ground? She grew up seeing snow. So we lived for several years there in Illinois before we went to Haiti's missionaries, working in Calvary Baptist Church. And I saw my share of snow, got stuck in it, and I'm done with snow. But if I go somewhere with the snow, I'll take it, because as a missionary, you learn to just roll with the punches. That should be how we all are, rolling with the punches, just learning to serve God where he's placed us and doing what he wants us to do. When Pastor shared with me several weeks ago about the theme for the conference, making disciples, I began to pray and think, and it's just really neat. I did do some background check on y'all. I got on your website and listened to a few things and watched some things, and I learned a little bit about y'all. But that don't bother me any. That when I came in here, everybody knew who Benji Dryden was. So y'all did some checking up on me, and that is perfectly fine. What does it take to make disciples? What does it take? Well, tonight we're going to start with the title, Make It Till They Are Made. Make it till they are made. I like what the psalmist said in 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, some of you responded accordingly, the same as our folks would respond in Haiti. Because that's just the way we teach. As we're preaching, we're teaching, and we want them to finish a sentence. We just cup the ear, and they fill in the rest of the sentence or the word that we're looking for. Now, the first thing that's needed, I believe, in making disciples is tasting. Now, I don't know who all put their hand in the goodie bag, but my, I'm going to have a good time. I did say I already talked to my wife, and I'm saving a few things for her, but just a few things to take home to her. I don't know how I can eat all that in the next 2.5 days, but I sure am going to try. They look very, very tasty. Now, tasting the Word of God. Open your Bibles, if you would. I hope you brought your Bibles tonight, because that is the basis of our doctrine, our belief. John chapter 8, if you would, please. In John chapter 8, we're going to be in several different verses tonight, so keep your Bible handy. In John chapter 8, he wrote this in verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We need to continue in the word. You know, it kind of baffles me that someone would try to make a disciple when they're not a disciple themselves. Do you get my drift? How can I, let's just, for illustration, I teach you about the Word of God, when, about staying in the Word, when I don't stay in the Word? Now, every morning you get up, and some of us are big breakfast eaters. Some of us can wait for a little bit. But before noon, you've got to have something. Maybe it's coffee. Maybe it's tea. I don't know what the preferred drink is up here in New York. Back on deputation, we did go to Canada. We went through Buffalo, and we went to a restaurant, and I ordered tea. Now, I'm from Florida, if you haven't figured that out yet, with my accent. In New York, I would stick out like a sore thumb because I speak like a Floridian. But I ordered tea. They didn't bring me that big glass of iced tea. They brought me tea in a cup. That may be what you want in the morning, but you want to taste it, right? You want something flavorful, whether it's liquid or solids. You want to consume it. That's every day. You know, too often, there are Christians who are happy every couple days, couple times a week, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, every morning you're not going to have the full course meal. Now, I'm from the South, so a full course breakfast is going to be steak and eggs and grits. Does anybody know how to cook a grit? No, grits are, you don't know what grits are? Y'all got to come to Florida and try some grits. I mean, they're the bomb, okay? But you're not going to get, I don't get that full course meal every morning. And every day you're in the Word. Sometimes you're going to get a few words, but then sometimes you're going to get that steak and eggs and grits, and it's going to overflow your palate. But every day we've got to continue in the Word, continue tasting. But you know, in tasting, not only do we continue the Word, but we care not. We care not for worldly things. John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, here's what he said: "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We shouldn't have a desire for worldly things. We are human, and sometimes our old nature gets in the way of our spiritual nature. We are in a constant struggle against that. We should not care for worldly things, but we should not also care for necessary things. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Brother Benji, we shouldn't care for necessary things? Well, look it up. Look it up, and let's look at what Matthew told us in chapter 6, verses 31 through 34, and see what he says about that. Let's explain what I'm saying there about those necessary things. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, I'm not from Jamaica. I'm from Haiti. But I know a missionary from Jamaica. And here's what they say. Don't worry. Be happy. Okay? Don't worry about tomorrow, because your Father knows what you need for tomorrow. He knows what you need for tomorrow. Too often, we don't sleep good because we're worrying about the next day. We make plans and we try to follow them, but the Lord is in control. The Lord was in control on my last trip to Haiti. We had been out of Haiti since the very last day of September of 2022. In our town of Port-au-Prince, I'll tell more about it throughout the week, we're 150 miles from the capital city, north. And so what you see in the news is all happening in the capital city of Port-au-Prince. But back in September of 22, things got that don't normally happen in Port-au-Prince. There were a couple groups of people that were going after people that they thought had things. Now, we look a whole lot different than Haitians do. And so the normal Haitian thinks that we have a lot of stuff and a lot of things. We were not only, I wouldn't say we're fearful, but cautious for our life, but we thought about the lives of all those in our ministry. Because if you've followed the news any bit over the last year and a half, over the last 10 years, actually, they've been starting kidnapping people. First, it was foreigners. Now, those gangs are kidnapping their own people that have family here in the States, and the family will gather the money and send. Sometimes they let them go. Sometimes they don't. We were fearful for our people, those groups using our folks in our ministry to get to us. And so we did come out, and you know, for 2 months, Pastor, I didn't audibly say this, but down deep inside, and I didn't do my fist at God, but I said, God, why did you bring me out? I felt peace about us leaving. I did, but I couldn't understand. You know, we'd been there 20 years, September of 22, excuse me, 19 years. And why, you know, we have all these folks that we're friends and we're family with and we're working with, we're training them, we're making disciples. Why do you have us here? Well, within 3 or 4 months' time, my wife and I could have sat down and counted about 10 different reasons why the Lord brought us to the States. With family and different issues, especially my dad. In 2003, my wife and I and our 3 children, Micah was 5, Ethan was almost 3, and Katie was only 3 months old. We went back to Haiti to work with my mom and dad in the ministry, especially in the Bible Institute. My dad became ill in 2017 with a disease that affected his equilibrium, and it just kept getting worse. And when we came to the States, the Lord used me as the oldest of 4 children to really help my mom and dad. And I even planned a trip in February of 23, and different circumstances, the doors kept shutting. And let me tell you, folks, if the Lord shuts a door, don't try opening a window, because it won't work for you. And I wasn't able to go to Haiti. And then my dad took a turn for the worse, and he passed away this past November. Thank the Lord he made it through Thanksgiving week, and all the kids came in, and most of the grandkids were there. And then the Monday after, he went on to glory. The Lord was using us while we were here. That allowed me to plan to go back to Haiti this past January. I was going to go for 2 days short of 6 weeks. Well, on the way back, I left our town of Port-au-Prince and went 60 miles to the town of Cape Haitien on Monday. Now, it's only 60 miles, but it took me 5 hours. Now you do the math. That's not very fast, is it? In Haiti, we don't measure by distance. We measure by time. On the way there, my flight that was on Tuesday the 5th was moved to Wednesday. After I got to the young man's apartment, he's from our church, I got the email that my flight had now been moved to Thursday the 7th. On Wednesday, I got the email saying, we've moved your flight till Tuesday the 12th, maybe if the situation is not any worse. But on Monday the 11th, I got the email, well, we've suspended all flights indefinitely. I mean, if I'd been home, I would have been more comfortable. I'd have been in my own home with my own people. The young man and I got up Tuesday morning the 12th. And at 5:20, we got in a vehicle and drove 2 hours to the border of the Dominican Republic. It took me about 2 hours to get across the border because of it. It wasn't that far. There's a bridge over the river. There's a river that separates the two countries. But I had to wait out in the sun for an hour. It took half an hour for the government officials to get to the Haitian immigration just to stamp my passport out. And then to get into Dominican Republic and all the customs and immigration, it took about 2 hours for all that to happen. I got a cab, went to the bus station. It was the wrong bus station. Yo no hablo español. Well, I take that back. I do know a little Spanish. Burrito, enchilada, but anyway, the Lord worked it for a young man that was a motorcycle driver, taxi driver, who was a Haitian young man that had been a Dominican for quite some time. He came to my rescue, and we spoke Creole, and he said, this other bus station, they have a bus that leaves every 15 minutes. So I hopped on the back of his motorcycle, and away we went to the right bus station for 3 hours plus, drove to Santiago, or the bus driver drove, and I got there, and a Haitian pastor that I never met before picked me up in the church van, took me to the airport, and American Airlines sold me a ticket with less than an hour and a half before the door shut on the plane. And that's the big of my story. If you want to hear more detail, I'll be here for a couple more days. But see, all that to say that God was in control. I had it figured out. But God said, let's go this way. And it does make for a great story. I've had a couple, my pastor said, you should write a book. Well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. But God had plans. Don't worry. Be happy. He's in control. I'm happy in the Lord anyway. And it really doesn't matter if blessings come my way. I'm going to wear a smile, open up my heart and say, I'm happy in the Lord anyway. Care not for your necessary things because he cares for you. So in making disciples, it requires us to perform a tasting. Not only that, we need to do some toiling. Now, open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. Toiling is another word for hard work, okay? I'm a sucker for alliteration, and it fits. Toiling. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Hold fast. It takes some hard work for us to hold fast what we know is right to do. It takes some work for us to hold fast, to do what we know is right to do. Verses 24 and 25 talk about considering each other. You know, Paul teaches us to prefer the other above ourselves. We think about others more than self. Isn't that the direct opposite of what's going on around us? I mean, a perfect example. I noticed it, but I realized long ago that it didn't help to mess up my equilibrium over it. I was in Jacksonville. No, excuse me. I was in my layover in Charlotte today, and no, it was Jacksonville. I was going to TSA, and I got up to the line, and a couple scooted into the end of the conveyor belt and got the tub that I was about to go and put my backpack and my shoes and my belt and all that stuff in. It's just a few extra minutes. I didn't get bent out of shape. But wasn't that a example of this world? It's me, myself, and I. I mean, it's just going. It's all about me. It's all about I. We know the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches the direct opposite. It's about the other. And even here in Hebrews, considering each other, provoking unto love and good works. Now, that's not provoking and making the other one mad. That's encouraging. That's, hey, let's love one another. Let's do good works. Let's do what we know is right to do. Verse 25 talks about exhorting, encouraging one another, straighten someone out. We have a tree in Haiti called the Bois de Chêne. The men that make cabinet stuff, they like to, the furniture makers, they make it by hand. And they like to use the Bois de Chêne because bugs will not eat it. But as it grows, if anybody sees it growing in the garden, they want it to grow straight because it'll make good boards. They cut the tree down and saw it into boards, and everything is, a lot of work is done by hand. But as it grows, it starts to lean one way. Well, you'll see these trees, they'll tie it off so it grows straight. And then maybe it leans another way. And pretty soon you've got four or five strings on this little tree coming up, and they'll trim off the little branches ever so often to keep it growing straight and make good boards. They can sell it to a carpenter and make good money that way. Well, that's what exhorting is, straightening out. You know, don't wait for the pastor to see that one of your brothers or sisters is kind of doing or going a direction that maybe they shouldn't go. You have a Bible. You have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You know, brother, according to this verse here, I'm exhorting you. Let's work together so you don't go in that direction. That's exhorting. And so you're helping with discipling by toiling. It takes work to exhort. Nobody wants to embarrass someone else, or at least they shouldn't. Go to them one-on-one. I've done that quite often myself. Go to them one-on-one. Yes, I have made the mistake of correcting in a forum, and I get feedback from that. I make mistakes. I'm a person. Hey, listen. Y'all listening? Missionaries put their britches on the same way you do. We're human. We make mistakes. But praise the Lord, we serve the same God. Amen. Now, not only should we consider each other, but we should show charity. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the love chapter, we like to call it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I want you to see the first three verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Hey, folks, we aren't just noise makers. We're disciple makers. Let me repeat that again. We're not just noise makers. We're disciple makers. Whether we make disciples straight or they follow our bad example when they grow crooked. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. We don't learn just to toot our own horn. Whatever you're, whether it's in school or a trade, you're not learning just for you to be the big shot. You're learning to teach others, and that's called discipleship. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Someone said it many years ago, and it's been repeated so often, but it's so true. We can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. That is so true, folks. Charity. It takes work to perform charity. Have you ever done something for someone? I mean, just out of the kindness of your heart, nobody asked, you just did it. That person knew that you did it, and they never once acknowledged it or never said thank you. Well, the Lord gave us eternal life. Do we tell him thank you every day? He gave us health to come tonight to the service. It takes work. But that's what discipleship is all about. It takes us tasting the Word of God. It takes us toiling hard. But it also takes us, in discipling others, it takes time. It does take time. I don't know who said it, but I repeat it. Rome was not built in a day. Neither do you make a disciple in one day. You don't make a disciple in one year. It takes time. We need to have what's called commitment. You need to be in it to win it. Now, that's not being egotistical. I'm fixing to explain what I said. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Open your Bibles there. Told you I was going to use several scriptures tonight. What I do at home, and when I call home, Hades my home. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We are all in, or we should be all in. This discipleship, all in. That's in it to win it. I can with certainty tell you that on November the 27th, 2023, at 2:30 in the afternoon, in front of my eyes when my dad took his last breath, that the Lord in heaven said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy, my Lord. My dad served in Haiti for just a few months short of 45 years. And it wasn't the hardship in Haiti that he got rewarded for. It was his being faithful and him being committed. And when I took my family down there, September the 9th, 2003, we were committed. I planned on staying there. I lived on the same property as my parents. My dad gave us the house that I grew up in because it was just mom and dad left, and they built him another house on the same 4 acres. So we had great neighbors. Got to work with my dad. Got to eat my mom's pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving. Praise God. Hallelujah. My kids got to, this is funny. You grandparents would know this, can relate. My parents had a screen door on. Well, they had a door and a screen door. You know, when I went to see my mom and dad, I had to knock. But do you think the grandkids had to knock? Mama, I'm here. Come on in. I planned on staying there till I die. I told the men in the church, I said, if I die here, you know, on this property, just don't dig a hole because our property is pretty soppy wet. But bury me out there. Build a little. I forget what they call them here in the States. Mausoleum or whatever, and put me in it because this is my home. I grew up in this yard, but the Lord, I was committed. I'm still committed. I'm hoping that I'll get to go back this fall and make a trip down there. But commitment, it takes time. Not only in your giving of time to make disciples is that commitment, but there is compassion. And I want you to turn to one last verse. I have another verse, but I'll read the last one. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. I want you to turn to one final verse, if you would please. I guess the preacher needs to get there too, right? All right. Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with, what's the word there? Compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, with time comes compassion. Jesus had compassion. I like it when it says, verse 35, he went about all the cities and villages, teaching, preaching, and healing sickness. Now, we preach, we teach, we don't heal in the physical sense, but we're giving them the word of God to heal their spiritual needs. And when I say we, that's us that are making disciples. It takes time. It takes time. Pastor has been here 15 years to see some of the young ones that were here when he first came, grew up, got married, bringing back their kids. I have the privilege of back in... late 19, performing my first wedding there, Dewey Independent Baptist Church, along with my dad. It was really special. I didn't think about it then, but here lately I've been thinking about it. That was his last wedding and my first. I thought that was really, really cool. Because my dad and I had a great relationship. But since then, I've performed several weddings of young folks that were kids in the church when I got there 20 years ago. And now they're having kids and bringing them to church, and they're growing in the church. Discipleship. Folks, it takes time. Just keep on putting one foot in front of the other. Make it till they are made. Making disciples is nothing to get puffed up about. Let me close with 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. As every man, that's talking about Christians, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are to use our spiritual gifts for the glory of God, whether it be a speaking gift in front of everybody or a serving gift kind of behind the scenes. You just do. We do it for God's glory and in making disciples for his glory. Not so in the end, I spent 20 years as a missionary in Haiti, and we have 359 graduates of our Bible Institute. That's the wrong application there, folks. Did you hear me? That's the you saw me strut around. I was doing that to get a point across. Listen, Americans and Haitians remember things the best when they see the illustration, not just hear it with their ears. So make disciples. You got to be in the Word to get them in the Word. You got to work hard at it. And it takes time. Use what time you have left on this earth. What do you know, Brother Benji? I don't know when the world's going to end. But, you know, as much as we don't like what's going on, we've got Ukraine that's been around about 2 years, and Israel for how many months, and Haiti's going down the tubes. And you look any other country, and they're having their own riots and big problems. And as much as we don't like to see that happening, when you read the book of Revelation and Daniel and the other books that go with them, those things got to happen before the end. Make disciples, because we don't know how long we got left. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for tonight. Thank you for this missions conference. Help us, Lord, to follow your will in making disciples, to keep on keeping on after we cannot keep on anymore. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, that was a great message to start out. I was thinking about making disciples right here. A lot of you practice this. So teaching in Kids Life and Awana and our scatter groups and a lot of these different things. And what Brother Benji's talking about, taking this message around the world. And let's continue. So take some time tonight maybe and pray about what you can do in participating in missions, not only serving here, but in helping get our missionaries to go where they're going as well. So brother, thank you for the good message here tonight. He'll be at the back here, and please be sure to see him. There are a lot of prayer cards from our current missionaries and some others who have come through, and those are out on the back table under the clock as well, so please take some of those. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, and the doors will be opening around 6 o'clock, and come on in and fellowship, and then we'll have our service at 6. Have a great night. God bless.